This is a great audience this evening. It is good to see us all together. There are some advantages to the two services, but there are also some advantages to being together like this. Especially the scene is so wonderful when we have a building full and so many of the young folks with us, the students that help our singing to be outstanding. We're just glad you're here. We only have about four more Sundays before the end of the school year at Fleet Hardeman. And I want to especially encourage all of you students to be with us at every service that you can. Let's make these Sunday evenings outstanding services and worship to God. And you can be helpful to us in doing that. This morning we talked about the subject of worship and emphasized how we need to look at it as an opportunity. And I believe that is so true. We probably do not appreciate the opportunity that we are enjoying and the freedom that we are enjoying at this very moment as we are assembled to worship God and encourage one another. I want to continue that line of thought to some extent tonight as we simply look at Psalm 103. We're going to just sort of analyze this psalm tonight and particularly emphasize two statements that are found in verse 2. One of these is also found in verse 1. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And the second statement is, forget not all his benefits. If I were to stop right now and say nothing else, you and I could leave with those two ideas in mind. I think our service would have been successful tonight. And I really just want to look at some of the other verses to emphasize these two ideas as we look at the rest of the psalm. God is worthy to be praised. He is worthy of our adoration. He is worthy of our worship. And those songs that we've just been singing, Praise the Lord, are certainly appropriate. Perhaps we need more songs like that in our services to where we stop and think about how great God is and how worthy he is to be praised. And yet at the same time, that second statement in verse 2 is so important to us. Forget not all his benefits. Sometimes when we're talking about a job, we'll ask about the fringe benefits. We want to know what we get from the situation. If we're talking about an education and a degree that is received somewhere, we're interested in what the benefits are that are associated with that. If we're investing in some way, in a financial way, we want to know about the benefits. And I think it is so good that we stop and think for just a moment about the benefits that we receive from God. Bless the Lord, and forget not all his benefits. It seems to me that verses 3, 4, and 5 sort of magnify this idea of benefits. Look at some of the things, at least, that are listed in those verses. First, he talks about forgiveness. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. The longer I live, the more I am convinced that this is one of the greatest blessings that we find in Christ and in God. All down through our teaching and preaching and our careers, we've emphasized that we all make mistakes. And yet I'm not for sure that that really comes home to us in the way that it should. And how dependent we are on God and how needful we are of being forgiven. I think one of the greatest things that would be hurtful to me as an individual would be to have somebody say to me, you have treated me wrong and I'm not going to forgive you. And you just think about what it would be like to have God say that to us. You have done wrong, you have treated me wrong, and I am not going to forgive you. But we have the benefit of forgiveness. We have the benefit from God that He is willing to forgive. Now, we don't have blanket coverage. Sometimes I think we can just overlook these things, or we think we can overlook our mistakes, and that'll take care of it. We do not have blanket coverage, and we do not have just automatic forgiveness. There are some restrictions, and there are some guidelines relative to obedience and relative to forgiveness. But just knowing that we have the opportunity to forgive, we might even say to one another sometimes, "You just tell me what I can do, whatever you require. If you'll be willing to forgive me, you just tell me what I can do in order for you to forgive me." We need that same attitude toward God. One of the great benefits is forgiveness. Then he says, "He healeth all our diseases." That is a general statement, but it emphasizes that God is involved in the healing process. We do not understand that the age of miracles continues today, to where somebody can lay his hands on someone else and the healing takes place, or that there is some instantaneous healing as there was in the miraculous time of Christ. But folks, the Bible does teach us that God is involved in the healing process, guiding many times those factors that are there to help us to get the things that are needed. Even when we don't understand the illnesses that we have, and maybe the continuation of those illnesses and the suffering associated with them, we have the promise from God that He is one who is able to heal, and He will do what is best. What would it be like today when we have our illnesses and our problems and we have death and things like that in our families if we did not have God to whom we could turn? One of the great benefits is having a father who cares. And I have found by experience many times at a funeral service or on occasion when there is something that is terribly wrong in a family situation, just to open God's Word and read the comfort from His pages will bring about a ceasing of weeping that nothing else can accomplish, nothing else can do. There's just something about God and our knowledge of Him that is involved in the healing process. Then he says in verse 4, "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction." Where would you and I be tonight if it were not from the benefits that come from God? I don't have the ability to save myself. We could not take all the education that there is combined amongst us in this building tonight, or even in the world for that matter, and come up with a way to save ourselves without God. And if we had all the blood that's involved in all the animals in the world today, we would not have enough to save ourselves without Jesus and without His blood. We have a benefit in God that cannot be found anywhere else. He redeems us. That word means to buy us back. We were His. We left. But He wasn't willing to give up at that point. He continued to show interest, and He redeems us and buys us back and even crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercy. God is pretty straightforward in what He demands. He's always been. Christ was rather strict in what He demanded when He was on earth. And yet all of that is done in loving kindness and in mercy to us because we don't deserve it. And God looks at us with what we call grace, loving kindness with mercy, and is said to even crown us. And then in verse 5, "Who satisfies thy mouth with good things." We have the benefit of knowing that God will provide our needs if we serve Him according to His will. Here again, He has not promised just to hand it out on a platter and to give us everything without any effort on our part. He even in the very beginning in the Garden of Eden gave Adam and Eve some responsibility to dress and keep that garden. But He has promised that He will bless our labors. And Jesus particularly promised in the Sermon on the Mount that if we will put God first, somehow or other, all these other things will be added to us and we will find the things in life that we need. He satisfies the mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. I believe that statement says, among other things perhaps, but at least says that from God we have the benefit of helping us to develop the right attitude, the right positive attitude in life, to where we are renewed. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, even when all the problems are there and the earthly body is decaying, that there can be that renewed spirit from within because of the blessings that we have from God. Now you just think about what's been said in those verses. He forgives, he heals, he redeems, he crowns with loving kindness and mercy, he satisfies the mouth with the good things, and he renews us like the eagle. No wonder the psalmist said, don't forget the benefits that you receive from God. Then in the next few verses, beginning at verse 6 and going through about verse 14, there seems to be a discussion about the character of God. And understanding his character and where he's coming from relative to our lives helps us, I think, to even appreciate these benefits even more. Notice he says in verse 6 that the Lord executes righteousness. God deals with everything from the standpoint of what is right. God is a righteous God. That involves justice. That involves giving the things that are right to those who deserve in the sense of serving him. And it also involves his punishing those who do not serve him. But all of it comes out of an attitude of righteousness. You may remember the question that was asked back at the time of the discussion about Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham says, will not the judge of all the earth do right? Sometimes we're dealing with things that do not seem to be right or fair. And yet he says God is one who is righteous. Number 2, in the 7th verse, he says he's one who has revealed to us his ways. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. He uses a past example there to say God is going to let you know what he expects, what he wants you to do, and how he wants you to live. I believe that's a great blessing, a great part of the character of God. I guess one of the greatest fears that I have in life is the fear of the unknown. When you do not have the factors, you don't know what you're dealing with. This was true when I was a student in class. As long as I knew what the teacher was going to use on tests, I had little fear. But when I had a teacher, and there were a few of those who would give something that had not been covered, or you never knew what to expect, there was reason to fear. But we're dealing with a God who even at the day of judgment is not going to bring any surprises to us as far as what he'll use as the standard of judgment. We have one who has made known his ways and his acts and has revealed to us his will. Verse 8 says he's a God that's merciful and gracious and slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Verse 9 says he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. I would use the word balance to describe what's said in those verses about the character of God. God is a balanced being. He's not one that is always angry at everybody. He's not one that goes to the other extreme and just overlooks everything. But he's one who is just and fair and righteous, as we have seen in those other verses. And then he continues to indicate that he's long-suffering with this patient. And isn't that a great benefit to you and me? The other day I was talking with someone about our faith in God, and he had made the statement that we need to believe that God will in due time. And I said, yes, I believe God will take care of things. But you know, sometimes I wish he'd hurry up just a little bit. You'll find yourself feeling like that. And yet we need to realize that God is long-suffering, that he'll take care of things in his own time. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And then there is a statement made in verse 14 that I believe is an outstanding statement. It says, he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. That says we have an understanding God. Who ought to know us any better than the one who created us? Who made us from dust, made us in a sense that we could make choices and knew that there would be moments of weaknesses. Knew even before the foundation of the world that he needed to bring about a system through Christ whereby we could be saved. And we think about all the benefits that we have from God. I think this is one of the great ones. He knows me. He knows you. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your needs. We have a God that knows us and understands us. No wonder he provided for us a Savior. And then he comes back in verses 15 through 18 and emphasizes these promises of God again. Perhaps he is re-saying or restating what he has said in the benefits earlier in the chapter. But he particularly mentions two things. Verse 17, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. His love, his mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. It will never cease. There's enough of it for everybody. We'll never run out of the mercy of God. And then the 18th verse indicates that his word is the same way. To such as keep his covenant and to those that remember his commandments to do them. He seems to emphasize in here as he talks about the promises of God that God is love from everlasting to everlasting and his word is sufficient to help us to know everything that we need to know. Forget not his benefits. What great benefits he has given. What a great God he is. After discussing those benefits and his character and his promises, the last few verses of the chapter come back and indicate to us just really why we ought to praise him. And maybe a better statement would be to say who ought to praise him. The Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. We need to be sure that we never try to bring God down to our level. Oh, he is our friend, and he walks beside us in a sense. We need to recognize that he is on his throne. His kingdom ruleth over all. Then look at verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels. Verse 21. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Verse 22. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Don't you think the summary of those verses is that everything in heaven and earth ought to praise God? Bless the Lord and praise his name. We may not understand everything there is to know about the angels, but we know that the heavenly hosts are there praising God. We may not understand everything about God's creation, but we know that his whole creation, in a sense, offers glory to him because of its greatness and because of its beauty. And yet, right in the middle of the angels and the creation, he says, ye that are his ministers, praise him. I think that's us. I think that's his people. Perhaps there's no better word to describe God's people than the word minister or the word servant, because that's what he wants us to be. And there's something about us as human beings that is different from all other parts of God's creation. He made us a little lower than the angels, but he crowned us with glory and honor, the psalmist says elsewhere. He made us desiring that we worship him, again from John 4 that we discussed this morning. He made us wanting us to be in his image and wanting us to be such that we have the ability to offer up the fruit of our lips and the thoughts of our hearts to praise him and to give him glory. We need to stop and appreciate what it means to be made in the image of God, what it means to praise his name, and what it means to appreciate all his benefits. Again, I would emphasize to you what is in verse 2. The rest of the psalm just emphasizes that and holds it up. Bless the Lord and forget not his benefits. His benefits are great, his character is outstanding, his promises are sound, and for that reason, we ought to do everything that we can to praise his name and to truly bless the Lord, O my soul. Are you praising God tonight by your life? Is your life being lived in such a way that it shows your appreciation to God for everything that he has done? He says he wants his ministers to praise him. That's us. Are you praising him with your life? If you're not a Christian, you need to stop and think about that. You're a wayward child of God. Perhaps there are problems. But God giveth us his benefits. You remember a few minutes ago I emphasized forgiveness? you're not a Christian, you can come as a penitent believer and be baptized for the remission of sins and receive complete forgiveness. And if you've gone astray as a child of His, you can come in penitence and confession and prayer and receive forgiveness. And all of us on a regular basis in the privacy of our own closet can live before God with a penitent attitude and a prayerful attitude, and we can receive forgiveness. What great benefits we receive. Bless the Lord. And just don't forget His benefits. If you need to come tonight to be in the right relationship with Christ, come as together we stand and sing.